Welcome to episode 58 of the Strong Style Story Podcast here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I am your host, Selector Jeffrey Wessel. You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. With me today, my co-host, co-creator, co-OG, co-producer, Chris Damasceno. Chris, how you doing, brother?
Hey, doing good. We're back for Strong Style Story, just like we mentioned a couple of days ago. If you all don't know by now, we have also been working on another show for the Pro Wrestling Only feed, which is AEW's Boom Goes the Dynamite. It's been going on for the past 3 weeks now since the AEW Dynamite show actually started, in fact.
And it's been getting some good response and good listenership. So thank you, one and all, for letting us do something we kind of decided to do on the spur of the moment, basically.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like this, actually, almost 3 years ago.
Hey, you know what? Something I just realized right before we started recording, Chris, this is episode 58, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll have the World Tag League Tournament. We'll do that preview on episode 59. That means our anniversary / Wrestle Kingdom preview is going to be an even episode 60.
My God. Look at us.
Damn. We couldn't have timed that better if we tried.
Yeah, we definitely did not try.
I mean, we fudged the numbers a little bit because I had, you know, we've had like a couple of pod blasts through the years, and I did the, half episode. Because I was by myself.
Again, it's one of those things where, like, just as you mentioned, we wouldn't have been able to time this if we were planning on it. So yeah, this
and even 60 episodes. That's like a Vertigo Comics run, you know, a respectable Vertigo Comics run. You go to issue 60, and then, yeah, it's all gone. But we'll see. So anyway, since last we spoke here about the New Japan side of things, well, a lot's happened, not the least of which being Typhoon Hagibis.
Yeah, that.
Which, I'm just going to straight out the gate say, even though we said this on Boom Goes the Dynamite, I'm going to say it again on behalf of this show, our other show, and every other show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network, our thoughts and well wishes to everybody affected by the typhoon. Which I haven't seen. I haven't seen the death toll at last count. It was 66 last I looked. I'm sure that's only gone up.
Yeah, it's one of those things where a natural disaster like that will definitely, unfortunately, do this sort of damage. Obviously, as you mentioned, the amount of human lives lost, and then obviously you have to go through and like damages that happened to the areas where it hit the hardest as well. So it's going to be a long process for Japan in that regard for sure. So we're just hoping for all the best regardless.
We are. And, just to keep this on topic, this, the typhoon did affect, King of Pro Wrestling as, several of the talents were not able to make it, including...
Or they just barely made it, which was the case for some of the guys. I believe Lance Archer, even Kevin Kelly, were amongst the people who got to the venue within, like, minutes of the show starting.
Right, but then John Moxley could not make it because of the typhoon. Zack Sabre Jr. either. So, so that led to some ramifications. John Moxley... no longer your U.S. IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Champion. He was forced to vacate the belt, which, you know, hey, it happens sometimes. And I know there were some people who were trying to, you know, get all conspiracy theory-like, saying that, you know, that AEW nixed this. It's like, nah, man, come on.
It's like, A, there was a typhoon. B, this has been a practice for New Japan for a while. Togi Makabe had to drop a title once because he had the flu.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just
put it that way.
Hiromu, need we say more?
Yep.
So we'll get on to the matches. Let's go down King of Pro Wrestling. This is the, I think we determined this is the eighth running of King of Pro Wrestling last show.
Yes.
And once again, mm-hmm. we'll repeat that this is a show that has outlived its gimmick because this was a tie-in to Bushiroad. This is like the first show that Bushiroad created under their ownership. And it was a tie to the New Japan Pro Wrestling, collectible card game called King of Pro Wrestling. Oop.
Yep.
Forgot to mute my phone, and there's a game going on. The game was called King of Pro Wrestling, and yet the show, as we detailed on an episode of Strong Solid History way back when, because of that, Tanahashi Suzuki IWGP title defense, the show really ended up becoming bigger than the gimmick and has now officially outlived the gimmick because, they quit making the card game a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is now the last truly big show of the New Japan calendar year. And it starts off right as rain with the return of El Desperado. Although it was an altered match because, again, Zack Sabre Jr. couldn't make it, so they had to shuffle some things around. So the match became El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeating Roppongi 3K.
Yeah, which is basically, this is a match they're going to be running into the Super Junior Tag Tournament as well. So it definitely had some interesting dynamics added to that due to the car change. And it won't be the first time that we've had something like that.
However, yeah, they reran that match a mere 2 days later.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which was initially scheduled due to the tournament, but yeah, it's an interesting little turn of events with that. Noted El Desperado returning with the same blood-stained shirt that he had on during his fight with Jun Kasai, where broke his jaw to begin with, which was cool.
That's a flex. That is a flex. The next match, the fourth and final Hiroshi Tanahashi 20th anniversary match. We didn't even get to talk about how they made one of those anniversary matches into a comedy titles defense.
Yeah.
Which the most violent players and Taguchi retained.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But going into this, it was, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Tamaki Honma defeated the most violent players with Tanahashi hitting High Fly Flow.
On Yano.
So,
yes, that was a victory. And then from that, for Tanahashi, things are definitely interesting because he's been on a little bit of a holding pattern, but we figure with Power Struggle and such coming up, we kind of have an idea what's coming next. It's just a matter of when they kickstart that, similar to how a certain Tetsuya Naito had his thing happen around this time last year.
I'm just going to say that I think, yeah, exactly. I was wondering what name Jericho is going to come up with himself to mock Bakahashi this time. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Ace of the Galaxy sounds as good as anything.
Yeah,
but
as much of a metal fan as Jericho is, why not the Ace of Spades? Although Triple H might get shitty about that, for infringing on the whole Motorhead fan.
Fuck him, so, anyways.
Yeah, exactly. fuck you, Paul Levesque. That's all I gotta say.
But from that, we do go into another match that was affected by the ramifications of the typhoon and the card shifting around. Which initially this was supposed to be another six man, but got turned into a tag match with Tetsuya Naito, Shingo Takagi against Taichi and Doki, where the Taichi Naito antics were once again up to 11, and it was wonderful in that regard.
Can I just say, though, that during that match it became really apparent that, I like Doki. I think he's been an interesting addition to Suzuki-gun, but Shingo Takagi just on another fucking level against Doki. I mean, it was just, mm-hmm. it was night and day.
Pretty much.
And once again, Shingo well on his way to being my New Japan Wrestler of the Year. I think he's pretty much sealed it at this point, as far as I'm
Rightfully
concerned.
so, and rightfully so at that, with the year that he's had, holy crap.
I mean, a lot of people are going to point to Ospreay because he's held titles during this. I don't give a shit. Shingo has thrilled me like rare anybody else has in New Japan this year, you know?
Yeah, I think Shingo is by far, if you want to consider this race between Shingo and Ospreay, given the fact that they both transitioned from the junior heavyweight division into more of an open weight kind of style, with Shingo blatantly saying he's heavy now. I do think that you have to give Shingo a little more credit, not only on the variation of opponents that he's had, but how good he's looked against just about all of them, while Ospreay's still kind of a geek.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a
Oh,
personal take, but hey.
exactly. Exactly. Well, and plus, if he's that, if Ospreay is so adamant about that he can hang with the heavyweights, why is he clinging to the junior heavyweight title? Oh, oops, we spoiled the match result. But, still,
This is
why?
fine.
But anyway, so that was a DQ finish. It was just angle building between Naito and Taichi to give Naito something to do before he inevitably faces Jay White at the Tokyo Dome.
We can talk about once we talk about the main power struggle cards themselves, because they have set up the table, I think, really, really well for that eventual path to the Tokyo Dome
Oh, they
itself.
really
We can cover
have. I
that.
mean, it's yeah. I mean, well, anyway, back to King of Pro Wrestling,
King of
and
Pro
then
Wrestling, yes.
I don't know why they bumped this match down the card. I think it was, they did it wrongly, but at the same time. This was emotional. Jushin Thunder Liger arriving not as Kishin Liger as they kept teasing, but
Yeah.
Battle Liger.
Battle Liger of all things, which was just like talk about like finding ways of bringing all of these different aspects of his character that he's done throughout all these many years, and just putting them in a kind of a nice, really big nostalgia package for everybody as he's heading into his heyday. Just my goodness, Liger.
Yeah, and now,
Brilliance.
and of course, Suzuki wins the match with a Gotch style. I don't know if that was the right call because Liger has never had a win on Suzuki in singles, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure he hasn't.
I don't think so, but I almost feel like this was kind of Liger's call more than anything, just to keep that
You really think so?
aspect of it.
You really
I
think
wouldn't
that?
I wouldn't I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
But
I don't think it's like the Liger of many years ago that was just squashing juniors while being a heavyweight per se kind of thing. Like, things seem to have
yeah.
settled
Or
down a little bit.
maybe that's his penance for that.
Yeah,
Maybe that's his penance
but just
for
under the match
accidentally destroying
itself,
the junior division for over a decade.
yeah. But it's one of those things where just he, the match itself, played all the right emotional chords between them, and just it was so well done. And Suzuki having a little moment at the end as well, which we
Oh
just
God.
like vowed outright to Liger, just like, well,
I cried. I shed tears for that. That was
It's like
something.
my eyes aren't watering. Fuck you, New Japan.
Yeah,
How dare you?
and Liger even thanking Suzuki at the end. My God.
Yeah.
What
Crazy.
a what a what a way to go out. Now we're in the back nine for We're in the back nine for Liger at this point, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Definitely.
After that, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, Will Ospreay retains over El Phantasmo. This match.
Finally beats Phantasmo for the first time at that, to be noted, because Phantasmo actually has had a couple of falls on Ospreay up until this point, so it was
Right.
overdue for him to get one back finally. But
Yeah, but at the same time, did this match really need to be 30 minutes?
yeah, I do think it could have gone just under that 20, 21 minute marker, and it would have been just fine. I don't think the match was bad by any means, but again, it's an issue where it feels like cutting a couple of minutes from some of these matches would benefit them more than it would do him harm. And that's going to be a theme that we can probably touch on a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Alert. Anyways.
I got some opinions about that, too. But, I don't know. And, of course, you know, it had the typical El Fantasmo bullshit, which I'm already over. I mean, as I've already gone over on this show, he's already, you know, not really endeared himself to me as it is.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But, the match was okay. It really didn't need to be almost 30 minutes, though.
Mm-hmm.
The next match was definitely a cool down. Hirooki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, and Yoshihashi defeating a Bullet Club tandem of Jay White, Kenta, and Yujiro. I mean, this was a nothing tag match. It was just, it was just set up.
Yeah, just a set up for all the pieces leading into the power struggle itself, and a bit of fun between Kenta and Ishii just jawing at each other and beating the crap out of each other, as expected. That was a thing.
Yeah, that was entertaining. But, I mean, overall, I mean, do you really need to have... I mean, big shows, I think, should be the culmination of storylines, not set up, you know?
Like, it does feel weird to have a setup of that regard to it rather than just outright giving us stuff that has some of these titles on the line.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, if you're going to do setup, why not just load it into the first half of the card and have the really important stuff on the back half?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I cannot see any reason why Liger and Suzuki got bumped down to the fourth match of the card and this one got put ahead of it. There is no reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
I would figure that's where that Liger Suzuki match would have slotted in at sixth or seventh.
It was supposed to have. But... I mean, if you look at the original, the original lineup, it did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's stupid. It's just stupid. So.
But from there, we do go into the victory matches within the card, and this one being the one that was mostly affected by the typhoon, in which they decided, hey, we still need to have a U.S. championship match, and we're going to crown a new champion, as it will be Lance Archer coming in from the lower cards, being slotted into this match against Juice Robinson. Winner wins the title.
Yeah. And of course, Lance Archer would beat Juice using the Iron Claw as a pinning move. Not sure that's what Baron Von Raschke and Fritz Von Erich had in mind, but, you know.
I mean, to be fair, though, he did bash Juice's head onto a stack of chairs a couple of times before locking in the claw itself. So it was kind of like, I guess this is the ending of sort of an overkill bit there. But a really fun brawl between the two. They decided to keep the no DQ stint to that, and they did really well in terms of time and using the stipulation, in my opinion.
Okay, they did. For the situation that they found themselves in, I understand that they were in an impossible situation, but and it's good for Lance Archer. He's now he stuck by with New Japan, whereas Davey Boy Smith Jr. took a hike, he's being rewarded for that. I really just could not find myself to care as much about this match without Moxley, because they have done such a good job building that story between Mox and Juice. And of course, as we've said many times on this program and on Boom Goes the Dynamite, John Moxley can do no wrong.
At this point, he's just having a fantastic year, even with certain circumstances, trying to get in the way between the elbow staff infection that kept him from All Out to a typhoon keeping him from this show.
Right. But at the same time, I have a problem with the storytelling, because they had done so well, from the time that Mox beat Juice for this title, and then, Juice, working his way up to getting back in, including beating Mox during G1 Climax.
Yeah.
And now Juice has to start all over again.
It does make me wonder where they're going with it, on the kind of knowledge that we have that Moxley is apparently going to be, or at least he's contracted to do New Japan dates wise up until Wrestle Kingdom coming up on the 4th and 5th of next year. So With the U, even without the U.S. title being in the picture, it does make me wonder at this point if that's something they save for the Dome as a special singles, whether it's on the 4th or the 5th, because well, they need to flop both those nights. So
well,
it's
yeah,
like,
and I get that, but again, I mean, it looks like that yeah, they're keeping juice within the U.S. title sphere.
Division for now, yeah.
So now mm-hmm. they spent all this time building them up, and now they had to build them up again. And it's just... I'm just feeling bad for the guy, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like, we've seen the stop-and-go momentum with him happen last year around, and we know how much of a lot it took him just to get back to this level. So, yeah, it's a little bit annoying at this point. I will agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it is really irritating. And again, I'm sorry, again, it's good for Lance Archer. You know, it's good that they, you know, have a program for this title now. But
I really
could not care about this match without Moxley. I really just couldn't. I mean, it was good, but so what?
Fair enough. For me specifically, I will say this. Yeah, I'll say this, though. I do believe that Archer has done enough this year to where he deserves a big Dome match, and having that title at least guarantees him something like that on one of the two nights, so I'm happy for him in that regard. But I do want to see Juice do good things, or if the U.S. title is just going to be a stop-and-go kind of momentum for him like that, just bring him onto the Never scene, do something a little bit different with him.
Or something, you know?
Have him and Finn, yeah. Have him and Finley chase after the heavyweight tag titles. Why not at this point? They both.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Finley,
that is something we could bring up.
Come back. Yeah.
Yeah. David Finley is back after being gone since March, I think it was.
Yeah. From shoulder surgery. He did save Juice from a further beating at the hands of Archer. So it does make me feel like that might be the power struggle thing for the U.S. title, or something akin to that during World Tag League. Who knows? But
yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe that's like not a bad idea. You know, maybe Juice and Finley. Yeah, maybe it's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah, I would like to see him as a tandem. Plus, again, it gives Finley like that. Just because him being just within New Japan and not really going on excursion per se, we felt like he might have been a little bit flat before his injury, and I think we even discussed as much quite a few times on the show itself during prior episodes. But now that he's back, I do want to see him do some good stuff and just, you know, be a part of the company like he's been for all this time.
And now he doesn't have to waste his time in Ring of Honor either.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking lifeblood, I swear to God. Ugh.
You know, that could have been something, and now it's just official that lifeblood is just a waste of Bandido's time and talent. So yeah.
Pretty much.
Anywho, so we now get to the semi-main. This was my match of the night.
Same, 100%.
Kota Ibushi retaining the Tokyo Dome challenge rights against Evil. My God, this was a great match. This is the best match of the night.
Yeah, super fun. Evil looked legitimately like a monster throughout it. Kota fought from underneath really, really well throughout it. It felt like a match. Time-wise, it went to 24 minutes, but it felt much less than that, just because they kept you pretty much engaged throughout the entirety of the match itself. I love how they played out the fact that Evil was literally just one big finisher away from getting the contract rights briefcase and kind of being made out as the closest one to have finally done it kind of thing.
Yeah. When is New Japan going to pull the trigger on Evil? Because
it has to be soon. Like, he's right there, in my opinion. Arguably more than Sonata at this point.
Yeah, let's transition into that. Seiya Sonata.
I say that to somebody who likes Sonata, by the way.
Yeah, we do like Sonata, but he's 7-1 against Okada at this point. It ain't happening, folks. It just ain't happening.
Yeah, 1-7, rather, in this situation against Okada. Oh, right, Okada is a kryptonite, quite literally.
Yeah, I got you. Sorry.
No, you're fine. But it's one of those things where into the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match, which was our main event between Okada and Sonata. This is their 8th encounter in New Japan altogether, dating back to
and their fourth in their attack, their 16, third or
fourth
this
of the year.
Yeah,
fourth of the year, fourth of this year. Here's what I'll say on that. I love the way that they started the match with that little sense of urgency between the two. I do feel slowing down immediately after that and having that usual like 10 to 15 minute grind just to get towards the ending stretches. It's a little much. I get that they're trying to fill the time portions properly for these cards, so that way they're ending them at about the same time that I guess it's expected. But if there was a match that could have, again, benefited from the G1 pace of like 30 minutes as the time limit, this one would have been it.
Yeah,
sure.
They really...
like this, but this was nowhere near the G1 encounter and arguably even the New Japan Cup encounter.
Yeah, no, and in fact, yeah, this is another match. It went way too damn long. Mm-hmm. It did not need to be almost 40 minutes.
Yeah, we like both of these guys, but it is a situation where just some of this time could have been distributed to a couple of the other matches, and it would have been just fine with being around like the 30 to 31 minute marker rather than the near 37 that it went.
What match do you think would have benefited from more time?
Coming off of it a little bit, I do think Despy could have, the Kanemaru Despy and Roppongi 3K could have used 2-3 more minutes. They would have done some stuff with that. Kind of distributed a little bit more kind of on the lower card side of defense just to showcase a couple more of those guys. Why not?
I mean, okay. I think that, you know, I don't even know if they really needed to distribute it to that. I think maybe just shaving, you know, time off of, you know, Okada and Sonata, shaving some time off of Ospreay and Phantasmo, it would have, I just think, not even taking, you know, putting the time elsewhere, I think just would have made both matches better, if nothing
else. Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
But
I just figured they want to keep it under a certain amount of time from start to finish of the event, and that's why they do these sorts of things. So I was thinking more in that perspective rather than just, hey, let's just shave enough time off to where people just get out of here like 15, 20 minutes earlier kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not looking at it as I'm not looking at it from the perspective of, you know, sending the crowd home early. I'm looking at it from the perspective of I think it makes the matches better because, mm-hmm. you know.
I see what you mean now.
Yeah, you have more of a sense of urgency. And you know, by the way, Chris and I went over this on Wednesday on Boom Goes the Dynamite, too, because I took a match to task for going way too damn long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and in fact, I thought that the very first AEW Dynamite match, I thought, went way too long.
Yeah, it's a situation where with the New Japan main event style, I think the one biggest gripe that a lot of us could say we've had over the years is just that not every match needs to be a 40-minute classic have that formula kind of thing.
Right.
Some of them can benefit from your 15 to 20-minute pace.
How better could Kenny Omega's, you know, reign have been if, like, for God's sakes, maybe he just squashed a guy in 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I think that would have made Kenny Omega's title run look a lot better than, you know, trying to, you know, every match has to be, you know, Misawa versus Kawada, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I understand.
But, I mean,
but here's what I'll say, just to go back to this main event itself. I did really like the finishing stretch again on that, even though it might have had some of the usual complaints of, why doesn't Sonata just hold on to the fucking Skull End rather than going for the moonsault and missing? We've seen that trope enough times at this point.
Yeah.
But eventually, Rainmaker does get it done within 36-21. Okada retains. We know for sure now it will be Okada versus Ibushi going into night one of the Dome on the 4th, which that is the right call to make outright.
Oh, yeah, it totally is. That's a drawing match. But mm-hmm. before we transition into that, I just want to say one thing we forgot to mention. Did you see who else came back to New Japan, if only briefly? During
Wataru Inoue,
yeah.
He was there during
the Tanahashi match.
And that was really cool just because we hadn't seen him really since the retirement ceremony that happened for him. And if you're not as familiar with the name, just look up some of the earlier years of New Japan stuff. He was one of the premier juniors that they had within the company and just was a phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
It's a shame we lost him as early as we did in terms of in-ring retirement stuff.
True.
Because I feel he would have fit really well in this era, too.
Oh, yeah, I think he would have. Although he'd be maybe kind of in the back nine of this era, too, though. I mean, he'd be like he'd be working, you know, opening tags with the Dads and the Young Lions at this
point. Yeah, for sure. And it would have been fun to see him in that role as well, kind of playing the aggressive type senpai to a couple of these Young Lion boys. So
yeah.
But, again, just put it
seems, yeah, so. Overall, yeah, I mean, I really wanted to like Okada and Sonata more than I did. I think they could safely not run Okada versus Sonata for a while.
Yeah, I think they can win until at least the back end of 2020 into 2021, to be honest with that.
Yeah.
Just because they've had enough of these matches, and I think they have with the ending with Sonata basically leaving a crying mess in a similar manner to Kazuchika Okada to Wrestle Kingdom once.
Right.
I think you could set up the routes for both of these guys to eventually meet where the stakes are much more important and where Sonata's profile is probably far more elevated than where he is at this point, because it's a situation where Sonata's almost there. He's just not there yet.
Yeah.
And arguably between Evil and Sonata, Evil's the one that I think is the most ready out of the two to take that next step.
Oh, for sure.
As of right now. Not that Sonata can't. I just think with Sonata having had the profile matches he did this year and kind of falling short, you do have to tell somewhat of a redemption story with him to get back up to this point before pulling the trigger on him, really.
Oh, I agree. And again, I think, yeah, Evil, I think, is there. I just, he needs to get, I mean, if not the IWGP heavyweight, but he needs like a run with a singles title, period.
Yeah, the IC for sure, I think, would be a really good start for him.
Yeah, it would. No, that is a good one. Yeah, that would be a good one. I mean, he's only held one singles title for like 10 days.
Yeah, and that was the Never title during the...
Yeah, this is back when Shibata was still around.
Yeah, when they went to Taiwan, I think, is where he won it, and then he lost.
Singapore. It was Singapore.
Right. Oh, Singapore, yeah. Excuse me. Thank you.
But yeah, but, I mean, and they just did that to pop the crowd, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw a title change, you know. So, but yeah, it's... Yeah, overall, I mean, King of Pro Wrestling, it was, you know, the final big show of the year. It was good. The Typhoon fucked with it, and you know, a match I was really looking forward to didn't happen because of it.
Yeah,
and you know,
also
and
not
so
to mention our boy did not come back, so at least we subverted our own expectations by saying maybe he comes back here, but maybe he doesn't.
Well, maybe
so,
yeah. There's still Power Struggle because they always have somebody returning on Power Struggle too.
Yeah, they do. There's definitely room for surprises in that regard. So we'll be waiting. I do think that he is at this point almost, if not completely, ready. It's just a matter of when, and of course, making 120% sure that his neck is up to par.
Yeah, for sure.
When he comes back,
jokes about 1,000% or anything like that. No.
Yeah. No.
Seriously, no.
because with Hiromu Takahashi style, he needs to be at 1,000% to make sure that because they probably want him hitting the ground running once he comes back, which I don't blame him one bit.
Yeah, he needs to be ready to rock. I mean,
for sure.
And he needs to be, you know, ready to, you know, function too. So
yeah. So from here, we do kind of approach the slow period of the company up until we get to January 4th and January 5th.
Yeah, we're
going to
be
situation.
Into the who gives a shit portion of the New Japan year. Although, you know, let's be fair. The Road to Tokyo Dome shows are fun because you know, those will be fun. I'm looking. It looks like there's three of those this year, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but should be fun. But there is something important going on with this Power Struggle Tour, which is the Super Junior Tag Tournament.
But
and I think
Before we get into that, let's talk the press conference, because as you surmise properly,
yes.
The January 4th main event will be Okada versus Ibushi. Okada did agree that if he retains, he will face the Intercontinental Champion the next night at January 5th.
Yep, the double title story is on, boys.
Whomever that is. So we have your four moving parts now in this are officially Kazuchika Okada, Kota Ibushi, the current IWGP Intercontinental Champion, JY, and the one who kickstarted this whole thing off, Naito.
And not to mention, and it's a credit to New Japan in that regard, which you have some other people who have subconsciously, not subconsciously, but who have joined that race as well, with Hirooki Goto making his sights very clear onto the IC title with Jay White. And Taichi, after the disqualification during King of Pro Wrestling, beating up Naito with the microphone, getting on the microphone himself and calling Naito not only weak, but saying that he's going to finish what he started
Right. Well,
with the double title. So,
you know,
Zach well.
Zack Sabre Jr. has made comments about it. I mean, well, you know, Evil and Sonata
Yeah,
made
they
comments
have.
about it. I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in here, but I think we can all pretty much guess that these are the four moving, these are
Major
the
pieces
four
of it.
major
Yeah,
pieces.
absolutely. Complete 100% on that.
Yeah.
But now that we've established the double titles portion and having an end game on January 5th, which is awesome, can't wait to see that. Regardless of what that match is between these four parts, I think it's going to be phenomenal, however way we go on that. But another big piece of that press conference was Jushin Thunder Liger having his final two matches are going to be January 4th, January 5th,
And his with his
plus
retirement,
January
sir.
6th being a New Year Dash at Tokyo Ota Ward.
An
So,
Oda, yeah, not Cork and Hall this year, an
Korakuen.
Oda Ward.
So,
Yeah, let's talk about that. The we know who is in the first of the retirement matches. This is massive,
yeah,
actually.
it's insane.
Jushin Thunder Liger will be on a team with Tatsumi Fujinami, you know, he of tradition these last few years, being joined by Great Sasuke and Tiger Mask, Tiger Mask 4, being seconded by El Samurai.
Yeah, that's insane. Just that combination altogether, just talk about some dads here.
And a team, and on the opposite end, we have Rusev Taguchi, two former New Japan juniors of note that are now bigs in Pro Wrestling 01, Shinjiro Otani, and the to me the underrated Tatsuhiro Takaiwa, as well as Naoki freaking Sano.
Yeah, that's nuts. And then the person that's seconding them, what a bit of history there with Kuniaki Kobayashi coming in, who was the very first opponent of Keiichi Yamada as Jushin Liger.
Yep. Oh,
So
yeah.
there's some history here, folks, that's going to be touched on and made. And like, this should be super fun to watch just on the nostalgia factor
Oh,
and
yeah.
the fact that some of these guys can still go even as of today.
Oh, yeah. Takaiwa can still go. So can
Yeah,
Ohtani, for
Takaya.
that matter.
Yeah, no, I saw Ohtani during Mania weekend, and that was super fun to fucking watch.
Yeah, I missed that one, but yeah, I heard great things about that, so. But yeah, now we don't know who his January 5th opponent will be, or opponents for that matter. But you know, it's all good. We do know that the New Japan Showdown in San Jose will be Liger's final U.S. date. We do know that, but we don't have a card for that, so we don't.
Yeah, we're not discussing that just as of yet. And we
Just
just know
yet.
that the San Jose and Los Angeles shows are a go, and that you've had certain talent announced for certain shows there, for both shows, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, biggest thing that I want to take away from the Liger announcement on the fifth, for the fifth, is that he's mentioned that he would prefer to wrestle somebody that he hasn't gone up against, which just again makes my hopes of Hiromu versus Liger as
Oh my
Liger
God.
Swan Song.
Yeah,
Just imagine.
please don't yeah. Be still my beating heart. I mean,
Yeah.
don't. Yeah, just don't put that out there. Because if it doesn't happen, we're all gonna be crushed.
Yeah, true. But alas, I'm used to that being a Los Ingobernables de Japón fan. It kind of comes
Well,
with the territory.
okay. Do we like that unit because they win all the time, or do we like the unit because we like the unit? You know?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. So, hey, let's talk some power struggle. Which has already started because the scheduling kind of was wacky. And
The schedule fucked on us. That's about the best way that we can put it.
But hey, we made up for it because we in this time we've given you three episodes of Boom Goes the Dynamite. So I'm interested to know who's actually listening to us, who's listening to Boom Goes the Dynamite, and both. You know,
I am to see the crossover.
I am interested.
You can tweet us at Strong Style Story without the E in style and let us know. By the way, just throwing that out there, guys.
So we have eight teams in the Super Junior Tag League, which has already started. We're actually, as we record, it's already been day three. It's pretty sure that at least one of these teams is getting no wins. But we'll go through the teams. The teams going through are Tiger Mask 4 and Young Lion Yuya Uemura. Ryusuke Taguchi and Rocky Romero.
The coach and coach team, which had been teased for a while leading up to it. So
hey, can we talk like how Japan is like whipping ass in the Rugby World Cup?
Yeah, they've been doing super good.
Like as we record tomorrow, they're going up against South Africa, who are one of the powers of the sport, but Japan has beaten them before.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy. Wow. Yeah, that could be something. So yeah, I think Taguchi can take full credit for, you know, his coaching style for for the Japanese rugby team. Getting back to it, Roppongi 3K, Shoen Yo, Will Ospreay, Robbie Eagles, TJP, and Clark Connors.
I do want to point out a quick thing. The Birds of Prey team of Ospreay and Eagles is actually pretty brilliant. They have really good chemistry together, and their fucking t-shirt that they made for that is actually pretty dope.
Okay,
not gonna lie.
It is. I agree. I agree.
No, I just thought a quick note to point out there, even though we are very, very low on Will Ospreay as a human being opinions here in this show, myself especially.
No, I think we're pretty
much
I
think we're both on the same
on
wavelength. All right, fair enough. Great, great to know that, Jeff. This is why we're friends.
Continuing. Volador Jr. and Titan from CMLL. Now, originally, Dragon Lee was announced for this. And between that and the Fantastica Mania dates being announced with the talents, I think it's pretty sure that it looks like New Japan is siding with CMLL for now.
Which, you know, I guess that makes sense at the very least for the course of this year leading into next year and then try to figure things out for 2021. Because it feels like, given how rash of a decision it was for CMLL to fire both Roosh and Dragon Lee, New Japan kind of making a rash decision on a relationship that has been a thing for many years now at this point, just to cut it off just for the sake of one guy, no matter how good that guy is, like Dragon Lee. And I mean, Dragon Lee is a transcendent fucking talent. Like, there is no question. He can do whatever the hell he wants to do, and he'll be successful at it. But at the same time, it does feel like sacrificing everything for one guy at the moment might not be the best call, especially with the new year within 2020 coming up. They'll have some more time, I think, to gauge that relationship and see,
okay,
hey, do we want to continue that into 2021?
Okay,
and see about Dragon Lee itself coming in separately.
Right, and I see that, but you got to be kidding yourself if you think Dragon Lee isn't being headhunted by every major company that's out there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
And if AEW or WWE, if they manage to grab Dragon Lee, then that's on New Japan because they had a chance and they were obviously very high on him. Hell, he was IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion earlier this year, lest we
won
forget.
Won it at Madison Square Garden, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they weren't high on him. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a shame. I hope he does come back to New Japan. I guess we're going to see. But back to the Junior Tag League, the reigning IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions, Taiji Ishimori and El Fantasmo, as well as El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, who are currently leading the table right now. So,
Yeah, they've been on fire so far coming into it, which is fair enough. I mean, right now, I think points-wise, it's what? It's them, Taguchi, Romero, and then Voldor and Teton tied up, 4 points each? Or
it's
that being Kanemaru?
Despy Kanemaru, Taguchi Romero, Volador Titan, and Ishimura Fantasmo.
Okay, got it.
As so of right now, I mean, but they're staggering the, they're also staggering the match dates too. So, and of course, you know, the Typhoon kind of screwed with this too because they had to cancel the show yesterday in Nagano, so they had to alter some things.
Right, yeah, just again the aftermath and cleanup on certain areas that got hit heavier than the others. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting month just in terms of seeing how they work around these cards and the like. So
indeed. So yeah, so that's going on, but they've also announced some, you know, some of the feature matches for the actual Power Struggle show on November the 3rd. Mm-hmm. At the Osaka Edion Arena. Before
we touch on that, though, because there was obviously, we kind of just mentioned the NJPW CMLL relationship. It should be noted, Fantastica Media 2020 is on, folks.
It is on. There are four Korakuen Hall dates this time.
Mm-hmm. And that does mean we will get Cubspin back next year to talk about this,
yes,
too.
We will.
So congrats to get a Cubs fan date with strong sell story in the year 2020.
Yep, he'll be on to review, you know, the now traditional show where he comes on. We talk Fantastica Mania. He helps review Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, and of course, they did announce the full talents as well, which most of the names we're familiar with, we've seen in a couple of these tours, with three of them being new entries, I believe.
Yeah, there are three new entries. You know what? We can kind of hang on to that, though. I think.
Mm-hmm.
We
can wait until the time comes for that.
Yeah, we can hang on to that. I will note that some people who were missing last year that were actually really popular in Japan are back this year. So
yeah, so keep that in mind. But then, yeah, Power Struggle, a couple of matches announced.
They've announced the title, that you know, the title and feature matches. Of course, you know, the Super Junior Tag League final was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, you know, a setup tag, you know, there's a, you know, prelude tag match between Okada and Yoshihashi versus Ibushi and Tanahashi. We knew that was going to happen, you know, par for the course. Special singles match between Tetsuya Naito and Taichi. Again, we knew that was going to come.
Yeah, we knew that was going to come, and it's almost like that's sort of the spiritual, like, number one contenders match for the IC title come Wrestle Kingdom. So, and that leads into the IC title itself, which is going to be Jay White defending against Hirooki Goto. We also have another Bullet Club versus Chaos title match, which is the never open weight title with Kenta defending against Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah, the rematch there from Royal Quest. But I don't think there's going to be any surprises on the two title matches. I mean, I think it's pretty sure that we're going to get Naito and Jay White at Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me, though.
And I do think it's brilliant that they set up Taichi and Naito kind of as the technical. This is the winner of this is probably going to be the one that calls Jay White's bluff post his match, and just that happens. So. Nice little segue for that.
Hey, one thing we forgot to mention, we were talking about the Typhoon. You saw the pictures that the dojo got flooded, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
and
yeah,
of the guys mentioning that they were working on trying to get all the water out and everything else. So I guess Phantasmal was amongst one of them in shoot. Like, he was helping out at the dojo trying to
was there. So, yeah, it was, but boy, yeah. Well, this Typhoon, we're going to be talking about this for a while, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of things that not so much came up, but that have returned, Dominator Greater Card is back, everybody.
Yes, we could scratch him off of our where is he list with the Young Lions, because he came back and he won the vacant RevPro tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
He was teamed up with a guy named Rampage Brown.
Yes, Rampage Brown. Yeah, Brown is good. He's a good hoss. Remember that?
Defeating the
scene,
team of
so.
Dan McGee and Curtis Chapman to win the vacant RevPro Undisputed British Tag Team titles. We won't get into why they were vacated because that was a complete clusterfuck.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, it is a situation, too, where Well wishes to Mark Davis out there, Dungzilla himself. He tore his ACL, MCL while prepping for, because he was in Los Angeles for Battle of Los Angeles weekend along with Kyle Fletcher, and during warm-ups on that night two portion on that Friday, he fucked up his knee, unfortunately. So he was out for the rest of the weekend, which sucked.
Well, he's going to be out for a while. So, So, no Aussie Open for the World Tag League. I think that's pretty
which is
much
disappointing because,
certain...
because both of us were pretty much at this point, like, they're locks for it after that match with GOD earlier this year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There were locks for that if Mark was still healthy and stuff. So here's hoping for a speedy recovery for Mark Davis and that we hopefully see Aussie Open next year around in some capacity in New Japan.
So, but hey, Tomoyuki Oka, he's still around. He's back and he's still around. And now we just need
just
Kawada back.
Show up. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. He has a title too. So. So I think that takes us out of the pure New Japan portion of the show, but there's a, there's something
massive
massive we need to discuss regarding the parent company of New Japan being Bushiroad.
Imagine how pissed we were when this got announced on us halfway through recording Boom Goes the Dynamite, by the way.
Yeah, I wasn't pissed. I was just like, oh, God,
no, it was
why are you in now?
Uh-huh, exactly. Not even that, but it's more so like, oh, great, we can't really react to this until we finish the recording. Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
Well, we kind of did. Well, we kind of did anyway, so.
Yeah, we still managed somehow.
Because who's going to stop us, really?
Yeah, but it was kind of like, wow, what a thing to just suddenly drop on everybody. But then again, as it turns out from news that broke out a day or two later, this apparently was in the works for a little while. I guess there's no beating around the bush at this point. Bushiroad, the parent company for New Japan Pro Wrestling, has acquired Stardom.
What Wonder Ring Stardom, I think, is what they're called, right? That's
yes.
the full title. Yeah. Now, Chris, you're more the Stardom fan because my taste in Joshi tends to go towards Sendai girls.
Yeah, no, I followed Stardom a little bit more as of recent. I was at the Stardom NYC show, which was a blast to watch. Mo Watanabe versus Utami Hayashi Shida is still one of the best matches to happen in this year, outright to me. But it is a really interesting merger happening there because for the past couple of days, all of these dumb NXT Japan rumors have started kind of surfacing, and apparently they wanted Stardom and they wanted it bad enough to where apparently they even offered Rossi Ogawa a Hall of Fame spot for doing so. If
oh my
they were,
God.
Yeah, seriously. That's how desperate they were for that in that regard. But Bushiroad kind of saw their own window as well, and I guess they made Rossi a big enough offer that they can refuse. So now, biggest thing to keep in mind here is that this is being combined in the corporate umbrella that Bushiroad has with a kickboxing promotion that they do own called Knockout under the banner of Kicksroad, which is going to become Bushiroad Fight Company Limited on December 1st of this year.
Right.
So, and again, this is a lot of retaliatory, I guess, like prevention methods from WWE doing their whole NXT Japan thing, which apparently included trying to buy out Noah, to which Noah told him to fuck off, which was hilarious in its own right.
Yeah, well, like, you know what? I'm going to say, given what's happened to the scene in the UK, this is a very wise move if the Japanese promotions are putting up a wall and basically telling Vince where to stick it, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I know a lot of people are critical, are very critical of Bushiroad in New Japan, which, fine, what the fuck ever. I'm going to just put it out there that I think I would much rather have Takaaki Kidani in charge rather than Vince McMahon.
100%. I'd have Takahashi Kidani in charge over Rossi Ogawa, to be honest with you.
Yeah, now, mind you, of course, that's close personal friend of the show.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. That should be pointed out. We exchange business cards. It's more official than being Facebook official, folks. Trust me.
Well, and that's something we need to discuss too, is that, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I'm not really the Stardom fan out of the pair of us.
Mm-hmm.
But so from my understanding, from what I read, is that Kidani and Bushiroad are owning the promotion. Rossi Ogawa is still running the promotion. He's a CEO. Yes. So
that is still staying the same. So
will not be any crossover between Stardom and NJPW. Like Stardom World and NJPW World are still going to be two separate entities because of TV contracts.
Yes, exactly. With Stardom being carried by NTV, which is not TV Asahi, who carries New Japan. So
actually, is a minority. Yeah, on top in New Japan, mm-hmm. by the way, like a 10%.
Yeah, so it's one of the
That goes back to the Inoki days, by the way.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where because of the TV contracts being different, that crossover becomes very much not a possibility within the realms of Japan. Though it has been said, apparently, that if the demand for it is enough within foreign shows, so your US shows, your UK shows, that there might be that possibility where contracts can get worked around a little bit more because it's not being directly happening in Japan, I guess. Well, so that's something to consider for future US and UK tours.
Well, I'm going to throw it out there that I think that, eventually there's going to be some sort of merger at some point. It's not going to be this week. And before anybody starts panicking and saying that, oh yeah, we're going to get, New Japan, a New Japan women's division or New Japan women, they are already talking about Stardom's 10th anniversary show in 2021.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So at least
that's the big ambitious thing because they're trying to run Sumo Hall that year, and that is a move.
Right. And they're already talking about a show in Oda Ward on mm-hmm. April 29th next year in 2020.
Yeah, they're having a bigger presence in Korakuen than the usual. They've got 14 dates announced officially for 2020 where they're going to be running Korakuen Hall. Obviously, the Tokyo Old Award on April 29th. And then they've also, that's another big thing that we're going to delve into, which is Bushiroad's promotional abilities and the realm of how much further this expands for helps expand Stardom as a brand. They've already got a guaranteed main event at Chara Expo in Anaheim coming up this year on December 7th and 8th at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is going to be the Stars tandem of Mayu Iwatani and Tan Nakano against Sumi Sakai and Nicole Taylor.
Yeah, and they have not announced any New Japan matches for that because I think that's where the two New Japan Showdown shows are going to be filling that gap. So there won't be that, the New Japan, convention panel, I guess.
At least we haven't seen that yet. If there is, that announcement still has to be made as of yet. But we definitely have that guarantee that Stardom is going to be represented at Chara Expo, which, considering how, this merger just happened now, that is a big thing to begin with in terms of another kind of Stardom representation on the North American side of defense and showing that Bushiroad is very much committed to taking the Stardom brand and just expanding on it. Now,
hold on. I mean, I think we can see that maybe that was already kind of in the works because it was Stardom who has the DLC for Fire Pro.
Yes, mm-hmm, definitely.
So I think once that came around, we're like, But at the same time, I mean, again, there's a lot of demand for a crossover between Oedo Tai and Los Ingobernables. There's demand on some corners of wrestling Twitter for New Japan to have a women's division, which I am not entertaining that right
now. No, it's like those corners of the internet are the ones who haven't watched Joshi products on a consistent basis and are used to the spoon-fed garbage that WWE has given them, so they can just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm going to leave it at.
Okay,
anyway.
Well, I'll let you do that because you watch more of the Stardom than I do. But
I think just in general, Joshi stuff, like, it has its own market and it should be watched by people. Like, not every company needs to have co-ed, I guess is the best way of saying it, especially if they're going to do co-ed wrong.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. Here's something I think we, you and I kind of discussed this, and I put it in the blog too, but some of the shadier aspects of stardom may be going away.
Which is a good thing.
Like,
Like, that is an incredibly good thing.
Rossi and his obsession with the gravura idol books.
Yeah, which includes, like, and when you consider some of the stardom rosters is ages, but some of them still being either kids that are finishing high school or that just finished high school, like the Izumis and like Momo Watanabes of the world, is just like, yeah, that shit needs to go away, and it needed to go away like 3 years ago, kind of
Well,
thing.
it probably
So,
never needed to really start, but that's
exactly,
Rossi
yeah.
for you. But keep in mind, I mean, Bushiroad do know their markets because they do them quite well. And considering how many young girls and women are into Bushiroad product, i.e., Love Live or Idolmaster,
Yeah,
and that is something
absolutely.
that you have a bit more experience with than I do,
Yeah, it's just one of
discussing.
the things where the market is there for so much crossover with the Stardom roster and kind of being able to bring in that audience even more. And that's a good thing because it's going to help these shows grow to where they're going to be able to pull off these, multiple Korakuen dates, alongside obviously being as ambitious as running Old Award next year and then doing the big sumo hall show as
Right.
well. So
And let's first, I think, as you started to say, I think we would much rather see Kidani try to keep Rossi in check than Vince.
yeah, 100%. And along with that too, the other big thing that I would say is worth just the consideration as well is cross promotion stuff being a big thing. Bushiroad expanding the market, not only just by using their own brands to cross promote with Stardom, but obviously as they've announced, Stardom having more opportunities for like TV time, talk shows, and all of those different things. Like that's all going to be part of their marketing strategy. The We Are
Yeah.
Stardom account covered that really, really well in terms of what that initial press conference detailed in terms of the partnership and what they're going to be looking to do with that moving forward. Again, the less of Rossi and the shadier, skimpier aspects that have been predominant in Stardom, going by the wayside is a good thing. There's definitely potential for eventual mergers and cross promotion for sure. I do think that it would be interesting to see if Stardom tries to leverage that into, even though they can't, worth trying to work around the TV stuff as of now, just to see if they can get a showcase match at the Dome some way somehow for the fourth and the fifth, because that would be an audience in its own right there.
Well, it would be, but I don't think that's going to
I don't see. I
happen.
don't see. Yeah, I don't see it. I think it's very
No,
unlikely,
all
but it would be
indications are
interesting
that
if they
that will not
pull it
be
off.
happening. Yeah. Now.
And the other big thing too is that from a financial standpoint as well, this isn't like. Because when we remember when Bushiroad took over on the New Japan side of the fence, they weren't doing very well. We can all say that at this point,
Well,
but
they
it's
were starting to turn it around. They were starting to
yeah.
turn it around. I mean, that was, I mean, when Bushiroad acquired it, New Japan is about the point where Tanahashi was cemented as the guy. It was the beginning of the Okada era. It was Suzuki was Tanahashi's major feud was against Suzuki
Yes.
at the time, And but yeah, so anyway, continue.
It's just one of those situations where Stardom isn't really in a financial hole or kind of, struggling in any way, shape, or form. They are pretty much at this point the biggest Joshi company in the country of Japan at the moment from a promotional standpoint. Talent-wise, they did lose Io Shirai and Kairi Hojo much earlier throughout the last year and a half, but at the same time, they still have a tremendous pool of talent there from the people who are currently established, like Mayu Iwatani, but then you have girls that are on the rise as well too, like Utami Hayashishita, Momo Watanabe, Hana Kimura as well. So there is definitely
Oedo Tai are very
Oedo
popular.
Tai's, yeah,
So is Tokyo
definitely
Cyber
so.
Squad, for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's one of those things where the promotion has all the recipes to really explode. And with this partnership, I think it's going to be really, really evident throughout 2020 in terms of what Stardom can bring to the table. So I'm really excited, actually, with the merger.
I mean, basically, I mean, as far as I can tell, the only real practical changes are that Bushiroad owns the promotion. They're pumping money into it. There are more TV spots coming and bigger shows at bigger venues. But that being said, we've seen Bushiroad pump money into other promotions outside of New Japan before, and it didn't really work out. See also Pro Wrestling Noah from 2015 to 2017, in which with the Suzuki Gun angle and Jado booking it, they nearly ran the promotion out of business.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep an eye on it. I'm not even going to predict how good or bad this can go, because how can you at this point? You know?
Yeah, it's way too early to tell. Way too early to tell.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I mean, end of the day, I don't, for at least right now as we record, there's not going to be very much crossover between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Wonder Ring Stardom. I think they're just both going to be Bushiroad owned entities. They'll be run as separate entities. But of course, you know, Bushiroad has used New Japan to promote Love Live and Idolmaster and vice versa at the same time. Who knows when or if that will change?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So, I guess it's like December 1st is when we're really going to start seeing what, if anything, is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, again, this is something we had to address because this is New Japan's parent company. They're getting into another part of the wrestling biz, which, you know, that's something I don't think anybody's really addressed either. Bushiroad getting into another part of the wrestling business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it certainly is diversifying. Now, I know that Kidani says he was influenced by the fact that, you know, they had the women's match, you know, headlining WrestleMania.
True, which is fair. There's a global appeal with that particular company that has brought that into attention. But at the same time, too, it's kind of a, when you consider the amount of success that New Japan has had under the Bushiroad brand altogether, more hits than misses at this point, and the ways that it's expanded into kind of the sort of, I guess, what, pop culture lexicon, if you will, over there, it's not a bad move by any means to try and delve to a completely different side of the audience.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a Stardom dark match at MSG that neither of us saw because we were completely unaware of it?
Yes, I believe Ring of Honor did run that, which was the Oedo Tai was involved. I know it was Kagetsu and I want to say Hazuki off the top of my head.
Okay.
I apologize for not remembering, but yes, there was Stardom talent involved in the dark match, and I think Kana Kimura was on the opposing side alongside one of the Ring of Honor girls. I can't remember which one. I'm sorry.
Right. Oh, yeah, I mean, no problem. But, I mean, yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't like that, you know, New Japan was completely unaware of Stardom, because, well, I mean, hell, I mean, Naito did that big Tokyo Sports spread with Io Shirai a couple years ago.
Yes, and they had that dual interview between them with the two of them just talking shop on all these different things about pro wrestling and stuff, and Io being an LIJ mark, like most of us, so, you know.
That is only right. I mean, hell, we've seen them on New Japan TV when they were under WWE contract. Because remember, they were at the San Francisco show where they were on camera waving.
Yes, that was hilarious.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I found out, by the way, the match itself, that dark match that we missed, it was Jenny Rose, which was a Ring of Honor person, and Oedo Tai, which was Kagetsu and Hazuki against Sumi Sakai, Hana Kimura, and Stellar Gray. So three Stardom talents were involved in that dark match.
Yeah, so again, it wasn't like they were completely unawares.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But yeah, at the same time, yeah, I mean, no matter what happens with Stardom and Bushiroad, I think we could safely say that, thank God, Vince did not get his foothold in Japan to run a promotion
agreed entirely. And I don't think even if they try to run this NXT Japan thing, I just don't think it's going to do well for them because they have not researched this market at all. They're just trying to buy up assets and trying to figure out what the fuck to do with it the same way that they did with the UK.
Well, and the thing is, and the territories, let's be honest, and the territories.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like the UK itself, it's not like they really had much of a major kind of scene going on there until a couple of the independent companies broke out the way that they did around the 2012-2013 time in the now. But it, I mean, that seems a way more disorganized than what Japan has been for the last decade and a half. So
there certainly is a lot more of a tradition of, well, you know, I shouldn't say that in England because, of course, they had World of Sport and all that. But what
but
I meant was,
But
I mean, what I meant was like, you know, they didn't have. Okay, I mean, yeah, they had Big Daddy, but was Big Daddy really on anywhere near the level of Riki Dozan or Inoki or Baba, you know?
Agree. Yeah, I do agree with that. Maybe so, the Europeans, them might sound like sacrilegious and whatnot, but not really. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but in any event, so I mean, the only thing we could say is that we're going to keep an eye on it. I don't know how. I don't think we're going to start. We're not going to start covering Stardom at strongstylestory.tumblr.com because why? You know, I mean,
yeah, it's not our department, but it's just interesting.
But it's your department.
Whenever,
it's not my department. I'm the one who writes the damn blog.
It's not the show's department. Let's just be more precise
on
that.
But, fair enough. Yeah. And besides,
I do think
again,
it's something.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's more so just keeping an eye out on things, and then if cross promotions and the like do happen, we'll note those accordingly. But until then, this is a New Japan blog and show first and foremost.
Yeah, indeed. So, but again, we'll keep an eye on things. So, I think that pretty much that we're done. I mean, we don't have anything else. I think we pretty much covered everything we needed to cover.
Yep,
I mean,
pretty much.
There's a tour going on as we speak. All heading towards Power Struggle on November the 3rd. We'll probably do the next show on November the 4th. Wait, hold on. Wait, is that a Sunday? I gotta check this. Okay, no, it's okay. It's on a Sunday, so maybe later that day. We'll do a show and we can cover, you know, the World Tag League and presumably by then we'll be able to know what it will be on the New Japan Showdown shows in San Jose and L.A. And of course, you know, you can listen to the two of us on a weekly basis at Boom Goes the Dynamite here on this network. So
this is true.
Chris, anything you want to plug?
Just tweet at Twitter and Instagram accordingly as usual. That is at Brazilian Fury without with an S instead of a Z on the Brazil portion. Obviously, we have Boom Goes the Dynamite as our secondary show at this point that covers AEW on a weekly basis. You can tweet at me or you can tweet at Jeff accordingly for that. And as for your Twitter accounts,
I am at Strong Style Story without the E in style. On Twitter, my personal Twitter is at GD Wessel, where I more cover on comics, politics, that sort of shit. I do have another show called Busting Balls, which covers the beautiful game. The result of Liverpool versus Man United tomorrow as we record that might boost the topic that we just posted about actually earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. You can follow that soundcloud.com/busting-balls. And of course the blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com where I'm still writing on a regular basis about things going on in Shin Nihon Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, we actually got in praise from the Tornado Tag Radio co-host in regards of still being able to run a Tumblr blog. I gave him all the credit to you because if it were up to me, this would have died like many years ago at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and, you know, of course, it looks like things have leveled out with Tumblr themselves, so I'm not having to, I don't think I'm going to have to move it at this point.
Which is a good thing, because that would have been annoying, of course.
Yeah, it would have, but yeah, things seem to have leveled out, and I'm not getting stupid flags now on posts. Mm, like, come on.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So anyway, so that's all we got. Chris, any final words?
No, not at all. We'll see you guys next time around, probably to finish off reviewing this Power Struggle tour and Power Struggle itself. And at that point, talk about everything and anything that's going to lead us up into January 4th and 5th. The road to Wrestle Kingdom is on.
Oh boy, yeah, we're in the down cycle, but we are, you know, we're heading towards the dome, folks. So things are happening. Once again, thanks for listening to episode 58 of the Strong Style Story Podcast. Thanks for listening to Boom Goes the Dynamite too, if you've been listening to that too. And we'll see you on Wednesday there. But until then, for Strong Style Story, we'll be back for episode 59 probably in a few weeks. So until then, on behalf of myself and Chris Damasceno, take care. Goodbye.